The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
We're proud to have this damn good dog as part of the Fan family. Time to talk college football with Max Stinchko. Presented by Georgia's own credit union, Anderson Power Services, Stat Hero AAA, and ASW Distillery.
So, right, Matt Stinchcomb joining us for his weekly conversation on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Matt, happy Thanksgiving week, and what a week you had, especially last Saturday. You had Vanderbilt's upset of Florida, and then they stormed the field. Obviously, we use that term rather loosely, but they did get fined $250,000.
Yeah, you know, they should probably break it down like per capita, how much money per fan on the field that actually cost them, because there was a ton of Florida folks there, which made it, you know, probably doubly, that was the injury to the insult, I suppose, for the Gators, because we got there and we look over there on the visiting, I guess, side of the field, and it was almost entirely blue and orange, and quite a bit of it of blue and orange, even on the other side, on the home side of the stands. And he thought, my goodness, you know, Florida traveled really well on what was a really cold day. Didn't get the outcome that they wanted, that's for sure. And the Vandy fans that were in attendance, which really is the last piece that they're missing from a support standpoint, because that administration really has made good on the promises that they made. You know, Candace Lee's really stepped up, as has the campus side of things, the presidents, et cetera, having approved the needed improvements that they need over there. Now it's just a matter of getting the fans involved. Back-to-back SEC wins, one of them at home. That'll start something like that.
Yeah, I called it a meandering onto the field. It didn't really feel like a storm.
Yeah.
It was just a look around. But I will say, Clark Lee, you're allowed to cry once. He didn't cry after the second one because now there's an expectation. I'm saying that in a very positive way. In 7 days, you see how the head coach changed his demeanor postgame, because now there is an expectation, according to him.
Yeah, I mean, you had to know that guy. We've, you know, done quite a few Vanderbilt games, a couple of them this year already. That was our third. And there's just so much pent-up anticipation, I think, when you're building, you're trying to build towards something. And let's be real, guys. You know, until you finally get that win, you do have to at some point wonder, are we building towards anything? Are we actually making progress? Because it was nothing to point to in conference that would validate that. And then you get the win and versus Kentucky, and then you get this win versus Florida. And albeit, you know, Florida played very pretty. I mean, you talk about penalties playing roles, all those things, and yet you got the victory and you got it done. The game shouldn't have even ended the way that it did, frankly. They should have even had a crack at the end zone. It was over. And you think at that point in time, we validated it last week, and now we've kind of built on it. Now we've got a win on top of a win. You're starting to stack them. And if those circumstances replicate themselves this upcoming Saturday versus Tennessee, a team that looks like this is kind of crazy to say, but is Tennessee kind of in disarray? I think it might be. You can't lose a talent and a person like Hendon Hooker and just plug and play. Joe Milton's reportedly a great kid and a heck of a talent in different ways, but not nearly as talented as Hooker. And that defense, that was as shocking a performance as I've ever seen. I mean, maybe ever, based on what we've seen from them this year, and having seen South Carolina at Florida the week before firsthand, there was no chance that offense was going to do what it did. So you have to wonder what's going on in Knoxville. And now all of a sudden, on a 2-win streak in the conference, Vandy, Tennessee is kind of an interesting ballgame.
Yeah. Before we get to the Georgia part of it and a little Ohio State, Michigan, did you see the end of the TCU game live?
No. We were still rocking and rolling.
Okay. Did you see it play in what would, I guess, we'd call real time? Did you see how that last down went to get the kickoff?
No.
You got to see this, because they call it Bazooka. It is the scramble of all scrambles. The reason I bring it up is I'm screaming at my TV going, they're going to lose this game on a mismanagement of the clock. Yet Sonny Dyke said at the end, they practiced this thing. It's called Bazooka on Thursday. They ran a play to get the ball in the middle of the field. And I guess according to the rest of the social media world, thought the same thing. They were not going to get this thing off. I've never seen a drill happen to perfection with so many things that could have gone wrong to keep them in the land of the undefeated in the college football playoff.
Well, we were keeping track of the score as it was going down. We're sitting here thinking, okay, you know, this is going to be interesting, obviously, in anticipation of what might have happened at later on that night, because obviously Tennessee, South Carolina was a later kick. You know, everybody was pointing to, you know, Michigan was trailing in their game, TCU was trailing in their game. And, you know, of course, they both found ways to pull it out, and then Tennessee did what it did. It's amazing how things shake out, and it's amazing how teams like a TCU will find a way to win. Sonny Dykes has been around football a long time, and he's coached some really good football teams. His transition from SMU, you know, they were riding high last year. We called their game versus Houston to knock them out of playoff conversation as a group of five team. When he made the jump over to TCU, who would have thought, I didn't, that they would enjoy this level of success and especially the ability to pull out a game in the manner in which they did the other night.
Matt Stinchcomb is with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Of course, the Auburn job is still open. And then there was talk of Deion Sanders maybe going to Auburn, and now it looks like he's in talks with Colorado and South Florida. Does this seem to be like the logical stepping stone for a guy like Deion Sanders to move on to the next big thing after this?
I guess, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, in conversations with him that, you know, he was saying, hey, you know, we're doing a great thing here. We're not going to be here very long. Meaning at Jackson State. And those two teams, I think, are just kind of curious. I don't know that that's the – I'd like to see him go to a bigger school, let's just say that, a Power Five school that's actually committed to football. Colorado's in a Power Five conference. I'm not sure they're committed to football. That's a place that's separate and apart from really anything that Deion's probably ever experienced. I guess he's played in Denver a couple of times, but I'm just thinking from a recruiting standpoint, if you're one of these teams in a Power Five team that's looking at coaches, the southeastern part of the United States. I mean, not that he's not a nationally known name, but this would be his center of gravity, right, down in this area. Colorado would be an odd spot. I mean, I don't know that there's a lot of Mel Tucker-type springboards that you're going to get out of Colorado. There's a reason why he was there, got out. You know, who knows how that's going to shake out at Michigan State. It doesn't look like it's going that great. I would almost hate to see Deion go to a place like a Colorado where you think, man, what could be something special and unique? And that's the kind of place that can kind of snuff a career. You don't see a lot of guys that are able to leverage that into something bigger and better.
We'll get to Georgia based upon the two things I want to bring up with Auburn and Georgia Tech having something in common. If put on your, I don't know, your AD hat, your I'm in charge of a program hat, could you afford the wait with Auburn this week? If Cadillac Williams wins this game, what do you do if you've been looking someplace else? And I don't want the moment to get the best of you, but I'll go to Brent Key as well. If you play Georgia, Nick had said it, close, what do you do?
Or like, close for like a half or three quarters or midway through the third quarter.
If you're Auburn, if you have a candidate right now that you're going to hire, do you announce it before Saturday to take that part of it off?
Yeah, I would.
Me too.
I mean, why complicate it? Why would you complicate it further? And, you know, if you've got a guy, plus it's whoever it is that you're the guy that you've got identified, you know, you think he wants to be handed that? So, hey, first things first, you know, let's try to dampen the clamor that would be, or at least the support that would be in and around a beloved figure that was able to kind of drag this program up off the mat. I think you would do that if you could mitigate that anyway. I don't know what you gain by waiting, that's for sure, if you have your guy. Now, the challenge is that can you announce it? You know, is it stipulated, depending on who your guy is, that, hey, this can't be announced until the end of my season because you know he's coaching somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's the real challenge is, you know, you might be hamstrung. It just might be one of those scenarios where you're just going to have to grit your teeth and bear it out. I do know that what Cadillac's been able to do from an excitement standpoint, from an enthusiasm standpoint, I mean, that coaching staff in general, it's not just him. That's been pretty impressive. You know, we talked about it going into last week. I thought, you know, Western Kentucky's got a shot. It's not a bad football team. But the team has responded well to him. And maybe it's just a change for change's sake, but I don't think it's that. I think it's a lot more than that. Is it enough to hand the keys over to the guy? I'm hard-pressed to think that that is the case, especially given where you are. You know, this is part of the reason why I'm sitting here going, everybody's talking about Lane Kiffin going over there, and you're going, I don't know, are you sure? He could stay at Ole Miss forever and always have an NIL advantage, always. And therefore would have a recruiting advantage almost always over his in-state rival. Now, this is a team that's been in and around the top 10 most of the season. People have acted like they're a really good football team. And you look at them and you're sitting there going, huh, I mean, I guess they are. I don't know, but that perception has persisted for a long time. You don't get that luxury at Auburn because it's always going to be measured against the other team in your state, and that's your rival. And incidentally, I don't think you're ever going to get in front of them from a recruiting standpoint, especially in the age of NIL. So it's a tough spot to be in, and to have a guy who's never had coaching experience, coordinating experience, that's happened before, it's the Sam Pittmans of this world. You know, maybe that's possible, but, you know, Sam Pittman doesn't share state with Alabama and what is thought to be one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah, Nick will give you the numbers in the last 2 years if you don't know him, Georgia Tech, but do you think this is the last resume moment for Brinke?
I wonder if he hasn't built enough of a resume. I don't know that. I would like to think that if I were the coach of Georgia Tech, interim or otherwise, that given where that program is relative to Georgia, that's no longer a variable. I don't know that that's reasonable. I'm sure the Tech fan base wouldn't appreciate that perspective. But, I mean, let's be real. Yeah, things can happen. All kinds of things can happen. But your performance in that game, I don't know that that's should be the factor that you measure whether or not the guy gets the job or not. I mean, that program was – it's not like it was headed in the wrong direction. I don't know that it was ever headed in the right direction. I mean, you can't really point to a time where you're going, yeah, things seem to be looking pretty good. Not from a trend standpoint. There are moments, not many. And then, you know, you make this change and they seem to find a way to right the ship. Now, if there was ever a conference to be able to do that in, it's probably the ACC. But it's a heck of a lot better than what they were getting before. So I don't know that I would use this final game as much of a factor. It's almost like, look, you should probably have your mind made up. I mean, if you still don't know enough and you're waiting to see what or how they do versus Georgia, then maybe you've already got your answer.
97-7, the cumulative score of the last two times these two teams met, and we know that it's Georgia on the winning end. When you were playing, and I hate to bring back old memories and bad ones of that, but when you were playing, could you have ever imagined a day where that would be happening between Georgia and Georgia Tech?
No, not really. I mean, I hasten to add that three of my four potential memories were pretty good. Those games were tight. They were well-coached football teams, and it was a good rivalry. It was a fun rivalry. It was a tight one, right? And I'm sure a lot of the folks, you know, I will always insist that Joe was not out of bounds and that it was a fumble. And they will always insist that there was no PI. And, you know, you can point to those plays.
Because they were tight games.
Singular plays. Yeah, it's the difference in the game.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, oh, my gosh. I don't even want to remember that game was played because it was such a beating. Now, you know, folks will cling to, like, 2016. What was the other one? 2014, right? There was two out of 4 years where Tech went into Athens, Georgia, and got a victory. So, you know, it's not beyond the pale. This is a different program. Both programs are in very different spots currently. And I never would have thought that there would be such a great gap. The disparity is pretty immense right now, and definitely feels that way.
All right, it's Thanksgiving week. We know now you are not the man you used to be in so many ways, in a good way, healthy, I'm sure. If we took you at your height of weight.
It's like, is this a brain teaser?
What would your plate have
it
weighed?
Sound like it.
What would your plate have weighed at Thanksgiving?
At my weight's height, what would my plate have weighed?
Yes. If you're going to Thanksgiving dinner, whatever you weigh, 310.
No, you better go higher than that.
320.
Higher.
What did your plate actually weigh on Thanksgiving Day compared to now?
Well, I don't know. Is it a paper plate?
It's a Chinette, so it's going to hold up.
Well, hey, you know what? That's a heck of an answer. And it has dividers in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That way you can stack up higher. Because actually, it's interesting because it allows you to stack food a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
God, I would say, that's tough. You know, it was probably, you know, it's hard to say because you say, I mean, if I say like 6 pounds, then people are going to be like, there's no way that a Chinette plate could hold up under that. And you know, they're probably right. But if you spread your fingers beneath it so that there's any singular point where it can break.
Right.
I would say that, you know, look, I'll put it this way. If there was turkey to be had, I'm eating the turkey and also the ham. Every form of dressing and stuffing. I eat stuffing. Some people don't. They think it's gross, and I get it. But I eat both of those. All the available breads, they don't go on the plate. They go in the pocket because you need that, the plate space. Because I'm not the only big eater in the family. So you can't just, it's not like if you don't make hay while the sun shines, there's a chance there won't be any of it.
Yeah, when you go back, there might not be anything to go back to.
Did you ever have an NFL meal? Like, what was Thanksgiving when you were playing in the NFL? Like, that week, you get off maybe a little bit early. Was there a group of guys who went to somebody's house?
Let me tell you, yes. So, and when I was in Oakland, we got one of my buddies, teammates, he's from Lula, Georgia. Lula, if you're from there. Lula, Georgia. He played at Clemson, and Corey Holsey. And Corey, great guy, huge human being, just the crazy strong, big country. He came over, Marcus Tuiasosopo, a bunch of other guys on the offensive line came over. And the volume of food that was consumed, the number of turkeys, we did two turkeys and one honey-baked ham out there, but it was a big honking ham. There was nothing left. There were no leftovers. That was not an issue. And what I saw Corey Holsey do that day is the stuff of legend. If our friends from Guinness were anywhere nearby, they would have come, they would have documented it, and they would have put it in their book.
See, I think the biggest difference now is I think guys like you, even guys like me, when you get older, you can consume the one massive plate, but you just can't go back and do it again. It's a one-off now, right? More so than ever.
That's a great point. Whereas before it was just how many of those plates. Mm-hmm. It's not if, it's when I go back.
What about now, as you've taken this new approach to your life?
That's Thanksgiving. You got to still fill a massive plate.
Can I ask, do you look down at your plate these days and weep a little bit, longing for the good old days?
Yeah. No, it's yes, absolutely. I mean, because I do thoroughly enjoy it. This is, you know, I do see, I know that there are people out there, you know these people, where they eat for nourishment, which is, I just feel like they're missing out on so much. Mm-hmm. And as an American, I eat as almost, not as a sport, but it's an avocation, really. It's a calling, if you will. And, you know, to be cheated of that just because of just capacity alone, you feel like you miss out because it's just so doggone good.
Yep.
Can you go face down in the sweet potato casserole one more time? And the answer is no, you can't. Not anymore.
So after you fill up, what game do you have this weekend?
We're out of the conference this weekend. We get to see UCF at USF. So, you know, maybe it's the Dion sweepstakes down there in Tampa.
Interesting.
And nice warm weather for you
as
well to sweat it out. Get the meat sweats out of you.
Central Florida has money, right?
Meat sweats.
Yeah. Yeah. Work them out of you, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. Know it for our long-term health. It's going to be great for our skin, and we'll be able to sweat out. And you know what? That's a great way to look at it. That's precisely how I'm going to proceed.
So in the booth, it's going to smell like Thanksgiving Day again is basically what it's
going to
be.
Smell gravy
through the pores.
Yes, yes. Coming out of Stinchcomb.
Hey, Central Florida has money, right? They could pay for him, right?
Are you talking about USF?
No, Central Florida.
Well, they got Gus, don't they?
Excuse me. They have
the
USF.
They have the Gus bus.
Yeah, USF.
They got Gus. So they're all set. But USF's the one with the opening, right? They had Jeff Scott. He was the coordinator over there at Clemson. Didn't work out. And, you know, USF, that's an interesting one, right? Because you think it's a Florida town. Tampa's a great town. You think that there would be a way to tap into it. It's a huge school, but it's a commuter school, so that's kind of tricky. And, you know, from a Deion perspective, I'd probably check a few boxes for him. But I don't know that necessarily scratches the itch. We've seen other guys get down there and enjoy success. You know, you think about like Charlie Strong, for example. He did a great job, fantastic job there. And was able to lever that into bigger jobs. But I don't know. I feel like if I'm Deion, if you can keep a good thing going for one more year and then you get the jobs that you really want, the ones that you would covet, I think that it might be worth the wait.
All right, raise your hand if you've ever eaten a whole pizza.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's hands are raised here.
All right.
That's easy.
Do you ever go one more slice beyond a whole pizza? Just to do it. Yeah, you have. Wow.
Is this a real question?
This is kind of like a food interrogation.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the height of your weight, would you eat a whole pizza and a slice?
Yeah, just to prove you could. Because I've seen guys eat a pizza. You know what I've never seen anybody do? Take another slice on top of
I've never seen that either. But
you're kidding me.
No,
I think both of y'all are not thinking hard enough.
Maybe. There's a lot of things have gone.
I've walked around the offices there at 680. Yeah. I guarantee you. There are people there that have sucked down an entire pizza plus.
There's probably just some things I'd like to forget that I've seen over the years, Matt. Maybe you're right. Well, listen, you and the family have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great call down there in Florida. We'll talk again next week.
All right, guys. See you.
See you
later. Matt Stinchcomb, College Football Hall of Famer, as always, talking football and oh so much more.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.